Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother Canada 9 Roundtable podcast. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
What a week. I feel like I haven't felt this way in a long time after watching a week of Big Brother feeds. I feel like this has been so exciting, and I really didn't know what was going to happen. It's been a week, and I'm very excited to talk about it. It's going to be a good roundtable.
It has, in fact, been a week. Also joining us this week is Chantel. How you doing, Chantel?
I'm pretty great and pretty happy to be here. Like Melissa, I haven't had this kind of excitement talking about a Big Brother season in a while. And it's only week, what, two or two and a half? Like, it's just been super fun to watch. I have a lot of critiques, obviously, as to people's gameplay or whatnot, but it's just been exciting just to even be diving in. So I'm really happy to be here.
All right. Well, we are here. We're going to talk about everything that happened over the course of the week on the feeds, since the last time we talked, which feels like ages ago at this point, considering that the last time we spoke, the Sunsetters were running the game. We were talking about Ty being in one of the best spots in the game. We were talking about how the flip was dead, but maybe it'll come back. That it'll probably be at least until week four when these teams end and let the game actually start running. So since then, things have happened. There's a lot to talk about. But what have your thoughts been generally so far, Chantel, watching this week?
I mean, okay, I do enjoy the mess of it all. You know, we wanted to see what Victoria was going to do with this head of household and had a lot of like high hopes that she's going to do things a little bit unconventional and exciting. And so it has been unconventional and exciting, but it hasn't been what I want to be happening. So, you know, it's kind of like you have to weigh both sides. It's like really fun. It's definitely entertaining. It's definitely a good watch, but it's not the follow through on what I want to happen isn't there, but I'm enjoying it regardless.
Yes, I did in this week's survey where we have everyone rate the players, and we're going to go over and rate all the players this week as well. We'll update the prices on the Stockwatch. And every week I send out a survey on Twitter for you guys to rate the players yourselves. On this week's survey, I did, in fact, include a question that was, what team are you on? Are you team Sunsetters or team Oddballs? If you're listening from last week, you don't know what team Oddballs is yet, don't worry, we'll have you covered. But Chantel, it sounds like you might be team Sunsetters here.
I think I'm team Sunsetters. Yeah, if I had to put all my chips on one side, I would want to be rooting for them.
It does kind of seem like you have a sunset behind you.
Exactly. And I think that there would be the people that I would want to be conspiring with in the house. I do like everybody. Like everybody that's playing the game, like I'm enjoying getting to know them. I just feel as though I would be having strategy sessions with the Sunsetters over with the Oddballs.
Mm. All right, Melissa, how have you been feeling?
I feel like I'm conflicted. I don't know. I feel like, I always root for the underdog. We all know that.
But who's the underdog anymore?
That's the thing.
It's the Sunsetters now.
I know. And so, like, I feel like when the Sunsetters first formed, I was like, look, I like the people who are in this. But at the same time, like, I do not like this, the fact that they are running this game and they're just going to, you know, walk to the finish line together, you know, in formation. And I don't like that at all. So at first I was kind of like, I want something to happen. Like I was even like, I mean, it wasn't even like they had really done that much. It was 1 week, but really their formation. And then I was like, no, we got to get rid of them. So the second they like formed, I was like, oh, I don't want a big alliance. This is not great. But I like the people in it. We'll see how this goes. And then, you know, all of a sudden this week, everything changes. Everything's on its head. And they're now the underdogs, which is not what I thought was going to happen. So now I'm like, oh no, the Sunsetters, I want them to do well. And so I feel like I'm flip-flopping because I know that if the Sunsetters had won HOH this week, I for sure would have been all over the Oddballs being like, we need to, you know, rise up and get rid of the Sunsetters. So but that's what I like though. It reminds me, you know, of the typical split house scenario where you go back and forth. And if the teams are kind of evenly split and you kind of see one person go each week, then you're the person you're rooting for, the teams you're rooting for changes from week to week. And I think that's really fun. I like the idea that right now I don't really have a set like favorite or favorite side or whatever. I think it'll just change depending on the week. And it's more about for me, like the individuals, like for example, this week, I do not want LaToya to go home. I really wish there was a way she could stay. I mean, Victoria has made this week so amazing and so fun and like great to watch. If only the outcome, like the end result, was not so terrible, I feel like I'd be more happy about it, but I'm still happy because I've enjoyed watching it. So I'm really like, I don't really know where I'm at. And that's why I feel like I'm rooting for everybody. And I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. So, you know, it's going to be, I hope it stays this way for the rest of the season where, you know, we haven't really experienced that in a long time where we're kind of like flip-flopping back and forth in terms of like who we're rooting for as an audience. So I kind of hope it stays that way.
Typical Sunsetter indecisiveness. We've got two team Sunsetters here.
Man. Well, right. Who are you rooting for, Taryn?
I'm always a neutral party. I'm always for team make the audience happy. That's what I'm for.
I don't think so. I think your team,
you're Sunsetters.
You're a Sunsetters man. No, I mean, look, I like the fact that we thought the Sunsetters were like all the strong competitors and all like the good game players. And it was going to be just so easy. And they did this to themselves. Like, that's the crazy thing. It's not just Victoria's HOH that screwed everything up. They did this to themselves with this flip that didn't happen. I mean, once you decide you're going to flip something, or once you decide you're even going to talk about it, you need to go through with it if it gets to that point. Like, I feel like there's an initial like, oh, should we flip it? Nah, let's not, or whatever. And that's fine. But if you get to the point where you're telling everybody and you're going to do the flip and then you go back on it. Also, they tried to play too smart for their own good. They tried to play too complex. They tried to hide their alliance by having other people be part of the flip and have some of their alliance members pretend like they didn't know about it, or that, and then started trying to blame it on Victoria. And it was like, you're doing too much. This is too much. It makes you look sketchy. It makes your whole plan reliant on outside people. And if they had just kept it within themselves and been like, okay, either we're going to flip or we're not going to flip, then they'd be sitting pretty. I mean, they would have had either, they would have had Josh staying and be sitting pretty, or they would have had Rose staying and still look fine because no one would have known that there was some sort of weirdness going on. I just feel like they brought this upon themselves, and it's really interesting to see the fallout so quickly from a major alliance. I just feel like it's like normally we don't see it the week after an alliance forms, you know? So very exciting stuff.
Yeah, you know, well, only the pretty boys are allowed to sit pretty, Melissa. And these guys chose not to do the Pretty Boys 2.0. So
I'm also wondering, though, with like the end of that flip, when Tara and Victoria were saying no, 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 why didn't they just go to, was it Kiefer and Beth and be like, hey, like, we have to make this happen. Like, it's pretty much in the works. Can you guys just do it? Like, why didn't they just do that?
Ultimately,
I think they thought they could have their cake and eat it too. Like, I think they thought they could like convince everyone to do it. And then if they couldn't, oh, well, okay, we're all deciding not to do this. And now we're all going to be on the same page. And it's like, no, you still tried to flip it. Like, and now you're trying to blame me.
Well, ultimately, without Tina, they actually didn't have the numbers to make the vote happen. It would have been a tie. And Austin would have broken the tie to keep Ro. So, if they didn't have Tina, they only had 5 votes. And so they needed Tina or Tara or Vic or, you know, any one of these people. And they did not. They did not have those people. So
honestly, like, it just makes me, it shocks me that this ended up happening, because I feel like the night before, the day before, they were talking about doing this flip. And they should have just solidified it. Like, they should have just, if they wanted to do the flip, do it. But don't go back and forth and don't wait till the last minute and hope to change votes. I mean, yeah, sure, sometimes votes change right before the vote. We've seen it. But that's not the ideal situation. The ideal situation isn't like flying by the seat of your pants, like as you're going in between the hallway and the room and like telling the person that you're going to vote this way and I'm going to vote this way. Like, just talk about it. If you have a major alliance, like, figure it out beforehand. Don't wait.
Yes. All right. Well, let me explain how this went down, because, again, the last time we talked here on the roundtable, everything was fine. The flip had been shut down by Tina, and it seemed like it wasn't going to happen. However, after the roundtable, the day after the roundtable, we saw that Ro and Kyle continued to approach Kiefer about working together against the other side. They're still trying to rile up some kind of opposition to a majority alliance, you know, that they don't know the consistency of. And so Kiefer decided to come up with a plan to flip the vote on Ro. So he told Josh to pitch to 5 of the 6 Sunsetters that he'll keep them safe and go after the 4 he called out in his house meeting, essentially Austin, Braden, Kyle, and Ro. And so the pitch works on Toya. She is now on board with the flip. She wants it to happen. She kind of feels like this is the same thing that happened with Julie last week, and she really thought that was the right move. She wants to do it again this week. Even Tina gets on board, because Tina's hearing from Kiefer that Kyle and Ro will go after her, which she doesn't like. However, there's some reluctance with the Sunsetters, including Tina, who then realizes, wait a minute, he called out 5 of the 6 of us. If we're all involved in this plan, this could out us. This could expose us. And so there's a little bit of hesitancy, and they come up with this plan. Okay, if we're going to make this work, we need to pull in extra votes. We need Vic. We need Tara. And that way, both Kiefer and Beth can claim that they voted to keep Rohan, and that will allow them to maintain their cover on the other side. But this is a very like complicated series of, you know, gears that need to be turned.
He's doing too much.
Yes. And it's everything that we talked about last week when they considered the flip the first time, where it's like, it's not that complicated. Just talk to Austin and Braden. They're very amenable to whatever you tell them. Like, you don't have to force this issue. But they kind of felt like they needed to, but they never solidified what the plan would be. They never ironed out the details of the plan. And after a full day of talking about it, they just got so fatigued with the concept. And so Ty, Beth, and Jed decided, we're not going to do this. It's just too complicated. We might get exposed. We don't know how to do it properly. Beth was like, it would be good for me if I did this, but then I'd have to pretend to be on the other side of this vote against you two, and I wouldn't be able to hang out with you guys anymore, and that would be kind of lame. So let's just not do this, and then we can hang out still, and it'll be fine. We'll all be good. So they decide they don't want to do it, which pisses Toya off. She is not okay with this. She thinks this is the move that they need to do, but she's willing to accept what the group wants. That leads us into what we saw on the episode on Monday, mm-hmm. which is that Toya did try again at the last minute to flip the vote against Ro. And then what we saw in the episode is basically what we know, that basically Kyle, Ro, Austin, Brayden realized that something was happening. They questioned Beth about it. Beth was obviously in what was going on. They questioned Kiefer about it. Kiefer tried to blame Victoria, the whole thing on Victoria. The guys had actually tried to blame it all on Tara. Kyle threatened the guys that if Ro leaves, he's going all out against them. Both Beth and Kiefer get caught in what they're trying to do. Tina and Tara decide they don't want to flip for whatever reason. And Josh ends up evicted unanimously. And they're now in a situation where all of them have been exposed except Tina. And the house has been split into two. And that's what has led us into this week on the feeds, Chantel.
It's just such a mess. And like, you know, I wish that they just had solidified something. I don't know if it was LaToya's strategy to go at the 11th hour and pull people in because it worked the first week. But I think that that was actually really bad. It just looked like she's being kind of the aggressor and making this happen. And she's the one that's making people do things that they may not want to do or they had decided that they didn't want to do. So I just wish that it just didn't go down like that. Just decide yes or no the night before and just stick to it. Obviously I would have preferred Josh to stay. I think that would have been more interesting from my perspective, but I didn't like how this ended up at all.
Yes. And I don't love the idea that like Kiefer was trying to blame Victoria. I feel like it's like, if you're part of your alliance's plan is to like bring certain people into the fold to like have them be associated with the flip and kind of hide the alliance, like don't then blame the whole thing on the person you're trying to like pretend was like part. It just seemed like it didn't make any sense. And look, like if, to be fair, if this was Big Brother US, Jed would have won the HOH and they would have just steamrolled anyway, and this wouldn't have even mattered. But of course, Victoria goes and wins the HOH and this matters a lot. You know, this whole thing, this whole like trying to flip Victoria and then blaming her for the flip, the entire flip, which is like crazy, a crazy move. I don't get it, but you know, whatever. Yeah. So it was probably like one of the worst possible people for the Sunsetters to win HOH going into this next week. So, you know, of course it happened.
Yeah. And it also goes back to Kiefer trying to claim to Tina that Kyle and Ro will come after her because she eventually realizes that that's a lie. And that's going to be part of what exposes Kiefer to Kyle and Ro as Tina clears that up. And Kiefer being exposed to the other side is, and then trying to blame it on Victoria. Now, when Victoria wins this HOH, Kiefer is forced to admit that he lied about her. And he's been, again, completely exposed that he was trying to cover for Toya. He's clearly working with this group of people. And now he's one of the options to go on the block. And the one thing that they needed was for one of them, for two of them to not be on the block together. And now that both Kiefer and Beth have been exposed, they are two more options to go up on the block next to Toya. When we know that Vic would have been very reluctant to put up Ty or Jed, she likely wouldn't have put up Tina. If Kiefer and Beth hadn't been caught, she probably would have put Tara up on the block next to Toya, and they would have had the numbers to send Tara home. Victoria did not like Tara prior to this week. She thought that she was very interrupty and many other things. And I really do think that Tara would have landed on the block next to Toya if not for the shenanigans that happened with Kiefer and then Beth getting caught. And so that is really what sunk them this week. Victoria would have been after Toya no matter what, but that last minute scramble exposing Kiefer and Beth is what really sealed the fate here for the Sunsetters.
It's so sad. It's just like that we were had such high hopes, and then just like the Sunsetters is actually just like setting. It's just like so. It's so bom bom bom. I mean, I at the beginning of the week when I heard that that LaToya was going to be the person that was going to go up there and she was going to be the target, I actually really thought it was going to be Tara. And as much as I didn't want, I haven't seen that much of Tara, and I want to learn a little bit more about her, I was like fine with her going. I want LaToya to stay, of course. And so the fact that she's not even part of the equation anymore is like, it's just so saddening for this week.
Yeah. And so Victoria's plan for the week is to target Toya. Now, she has been after Toya since the feeds came on. The very first night of the feeds, Victoria was in Austin's HOH saying, why don't you just put up Toya? Why don't you just make that happen? It didn't happen that week. And so Victoria wants to make it happen this week. And because Kiefer exposed that he is working with Toya and that he lied about Victoria, gave her a great excuse to put him on the block. He is now going to be the pawn sitting next to Toya. Now, she is going to tell the people that she is working with, and the people that she's working with, it all happens that one night on Thursday. They have solidified. They call themselves the Oddballs. It's Kyle, Roe, Austin, Braden, Tina, Tara, and Vic. So that is a 7-person alliance called the Oddballs. Victoria is going to tell them that
that's weird.
Victoria is going to tell them that. No, it didn't work.
I'm back. I lost internet.
Wait, but now I'm Chantel.
Oh, with her name? Oh.
God, that's so funny.
It's all right. Yes.
I want to be Taryn. Put me as Taryn. I'm in charge.
Hold on. Who else do I have here? Nope, that's not right.
Amon.
All of a sudden, you're Amon.
Anyway, the Oddballs are working together. They are going to be informed that it is in fact, Toya that's the target. But to the Sunsetters, Victoria is claiming that that Kiefer is the target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand why she's lying so much about, like, you know, she wants to make this big move. And I always feel as though the head of household is your opportunity to start making a little bit of deals and kind of pad yourself for further down in the game and make some alliances or whatnot and have some deals going, some deals. And so the fact that she's lying about her target and then lying about everything else that kind of goes around it, it just makes her, the following weeks, like once that doesn't happen, it just makes her look untrustworthy. And I just don't see anybody wanting to work with her other than maybe her new alliance.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, we'll get into why the whole Victoria thing is not going great for her in terms of like, or like why I don't understand what she's doing when it comes to like the veto and everything. But like, even prior to that, like, I think for the nominees, like, I think the setup of the nominees went well for Victoria. I think it's like an easy thing. It's like, okay, well, number one, I heard that Kiefer was trying to blame the whole thing on me. And number two, LaToya was going around trying to flip everything. And then now I'm getting the blame for the flip. Like, okay, easy peasy, those two. Like, that's simple. And it makes sense to everybody. And it's like, oh, okay, it's logical. I get it. So initially I'm like, okay, cool, Victoria, it all makes sense. And also, like, you know, Victoria tried to start something between her and LaToya and Jed and Ty, and they kind of shut her out. Like, as much as they want to say, no, we talked, we eventually knew that we talked. It's like, no, like, she had a whole alliance plan. She talked to them and was like, okay, I want to work with you guys. And they were kind of like, yeah, sure, whatever, bye. Like, they didn't take her seriously. So, like, I could understand why she'd be upset with them and all they're saying to her, like, oh, no, we really did want to work with you, is falling on deaf ears. Because I'd think the same thing. I'd be like, no, you clearly didn't want to work with me. The only time you want to work with me is when I'm in power. So, no. And so I do think that, like, LaToya, we kind of shot herself in the foot in this, in terms of, you know, if someone, like we've said many times, like if someone brings you an alliance, like just say yes. You don't have to actually want to work with them, but like entertain the idea. Say, yeah, of course, I'd love to work with you. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense to shut it down. And I get that LaToya is like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to lie or whatever, but it's Big Brother. Like, you're going to lie at some point. And if you're going to lie, do a white lie of like, yeah, let's work together.
Well, I think that the team twist is what stopped that from happening, because if the team twist was going to further be continuing further along, you know, and the defenders won, say it was LaToya that won, then she wouldn't have many people that she would be able to put up. She would have had to, okay, so she wouldn't be able to put up Jed. She wouldn't be able to put up Ty. She wouldn't be able to put up Tina. Like, there's all these people that were, sorry, on the Destiny team that she wouldn't be able to put up, that I just think that she wouldn't be able to honor all of her agreements, and somebody's going to be pissed off at her. So I think that she just didn't want to say anything because she wasn't sure about the team twist and whether or not it was going to end.
And I will also say, to Toya's credit, when it comes to Victoria, I don't buy that Victoria ever genuinely wanted to work with Toya. I think that if Toya had been like, yes, I'm all in, here's all my secrets, or like, here's who I'm targeting, then Victoria would have just run that to whoever she could to get Toya targeted. I mean, she has had it out for Toya again since mm-hmm. before last week. Like, I think that the entire thing was a trap, and that Toya was smart to avoid it personally.
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a push and pull situation. I feel like it's like she doesn't like Victoria for one reason or another, maybe something we didn't see. Maybe it's that she wanted to work with Jed and Ty, and like Victoria and LaToya was like working with them, and so she was like upset about that. I don't know, but like there was like something. But then I think it was like, okay, but I'm gonna like extend an olive branch, like I want to work with you, and then it was like you get shut down. And I feel like that it's,
well, I mean,
it's like
also,
she's like
to be
reaching
fair, like,
out, but then like, you
like,
know,
Toya didn't just say like, no, like she did have a conversation with her, and it was kind of like a feeling each other out kind of conversation. And like Vic just kind of wanted to dump all of her targets on Toya, and Toya was like, well, I'm not going to do that yet, but let's continue talking. And then Vic wins HOH and she's like,
yeah. Well, I feel like also that first initial, I don't know, I guess what's resonating with me is when Victoria came to who it was LaToya and one of the guys, and they were talking, and Jed, and they were talking in the bedroom, and Victoria comes in and it's like, I mean, obviously it was like very awkward, and she was just like, oh, I want to work with you guys, like let's have a conversation or whatever. And but their reaction to it, if I'm Victoria and I'm like thinking this is a great idea and I'm throwing out like, okay, I want to work with you guys, and their reaction to her, which was kind of just like, okay, yeah, definitely, we're talking, like, bye. Like, that would totally throw me off if I'm Victoria and be like, okay, like, I don't want to work with them anymore. I don't know. I just feel like that would stick with me if that happened to me.
I would definitely personally put that one on Vic as well, because she came in so hard.
Obviously, was not good.
And was like okay, so guys, I want to make a Final Four with you guys and Ty. I think it would be a really great idea. All right, thanks for hearing me out. We'll talk later. Like, she just bounced out.
Bad. It wasn't good. I'm just saying that, like, if I'm her, I might feel a certain way coming out of that conversation, because if I'm her and I'm thinking this is a great idea, what a great Final Four or whatever, and I'm throwing it out there to them and thinking that they're going to reciprocate and be like, yes, yes, let's work together, let's do this. And instead, I'm kind of just like, not getting anything in return.
I don't know that she gave them an option though to return anything.
You can see facial expressions. You can see, like, I don't know. I feel like she was probably expecting them to be like, oh my God, yes, like, let's do it. But they weren't like that, because they were like, where is this coming from? And also, this approach is weird.
Yeah, I think the approach being weird, like, we kind of talk about like reading the room here, mm-hmm. like, you know, maybe come in with their temperament. They're not really that overzealous, any of them. And, like, they're not big in their actions in that way. And so maybe coming and meeting them on their level and being like, okay, guys, like, this is what we should do, and kind of sell it to them instead of like scaring them into doing something that they're not sure if they want to do or not, and then like leave, and they're just like, okay, what was that tornado that just came in? Yeah. Like, I don't know if I want to be a part of that, but maybe. Like,
yeah, it feels to me very much like a lot of what sort of Victoria has been going off of, which is kind of like this, like, well, if you think about it, ultimately this is all your fault. Right. Like, that is very much where Vic comes from with all of her reasoning.
I don't even think she necessarily buys all the way. I think it's just an excuse in terms of, like, especially with the Jed and Ty reasoning, which we can get into when we talk about the veto, but like that reasoning, I mean, I don't even understand it, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think also like their hesitancy is like, we're seeing with her HOH right now that like, you don't really know what she's going to do. She's kind of all over the place. And so saying yes to that alliance, I can definitely see why they're not like just jumping right in to like, be like, yes, we want to work together, because, you know, you kind of have to feel her out and see like what she's actually going to do and whether or not it's going to be better for your game or not. So she's kind of proving that it's right for them not to have worked with her.
Ultimately, she is going to promise safety to Ty and Jed. She's also going to promise that they can pick her replacement nom. She lets them know that it's okay to use the veto on Toya. That is, of course, until Jed wins the veto and wants to use it on Toya. At which point she says, about that, actually, the problem is that I wanted to do this really bad, but really, if you think about it, it's your fault because you said that I was smart and good at competitions. So if you look at it through that lens, I think you'll understand where I'm coming from when I say that now you can't use the veto because I'll put Ty on the block.
The whole thing about like, you gave me these compliments, so now you're not trustworthy. Like,
and I know you didn't do it on purpose. I know it was well intentioned.
This is just a big mistake.
You're going to go on the block because of it.
I can't work with people who mess up like that. I mean, honestly, like, and they're like, but you just said that you'd work with us like after this week.
Oh yeah, I still want to work with you guys moving forward.
This is just a lesson. This is just you're learning your lesson now for the mistakes you made. It's like, wait, what?
And still wanting to work with Toya.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I feel like she played the week really well at first. I mean, you know, really well is relative, but I think that like she played the week well at first because it was like, okay, all this reasoning kind of makes sense. Like, you know, they were trying to blame this flip on her. Like, she's able to logically do it. And I think at the end of the day, she's going to get what she wants this week, I think. I mean, it seems like LaToya is going to be leaving this week. But I think the problem is that she's winning this week, but I think that she's losing her position moving forward in the game. I think that this is going to do a lot of damage. I think that the fact that I just feel like she's made it so that people are not going to want to work with her. She has created this weird web where it's like, well, the reason why I'm doing this is because of this, and Kiefer's my target and LaToya is not, and I want to work with you, but also you can't use the veto, but I'm promising you on all these dark things or whatever that I'm going to let you, like, whatever, and you pick the replacement nominee, whatever, but also you can't pick the replacement nominee because I'm going to put you on the block. It's like this whole web that she's created is not going to go well moving forward. I mean, what's she planning on doing? Like, the Thursday comes around, LaToya gets voted out, and then she's going to pretend to be super pissed because Kiefer was her target?
I can't believe they did this. They promised. And you guys told me this would happen. Oh, I'm still hanging out with them and joking around with them and stuff, but I'm so pissed.
It's just not going to go well. I mean, if she gets out of this, like, if she turns this around and, like, comes out of this, you know, smelling like a rose, like, okay, like, great, good for her. But it just doesn't seem likely. I just don't see it happening.
There's so much, like, gaslighting happening and, like, these completely illogical leaps that are just all, she's spending hours and hours trying to explain herself and then getting really upset when it's not being bought. And all she needs to do is go, Jed, Ty, I can't work with Toya. Mm-hmm. She tries to make last minute flips. I can't work with her in this game. I need to get her out. And I would love to work with you guys in the future. I do not want to put you guys up. I just want Toya gone. That's all I need from you, is let me take out Toya. I'm sorry. I know she's your ally, but I cannot have her in the game. I'm sorry.
Maybe
let's reconvene in a week, right?
Like, worse, I guess, and like even she could also just like let the chips fall where they may. Like, I feel like if they use the veto, take LaToya down, like she saves face with them, but then she just puts up a replacement nominee from that same side of the house, like put up Beth. Mm-hmm. And then like somebody from their side goes out the door. Yeah, it's not the exact person you wanted, but like you're still winning something. And at the same time, you're not totally destroying your relationship with every side. I feel like going into this week, I felt pretty decent about her position in the house just because I rated her a 4 because I was thinking, you know, people aren't really wanting to work with her, it seems, but she's not in a bad spot moving forward. The people don't dislike her. She just doesn't really have a footing in the game. Now she kind of has a footing in the game, but now people are definitely going to dislike her on one side of the house. I just think that she's put herself in a bad position, even though she's going to get what she wants this week. Is that really what she wants moving forward? I don't know.
For nearly 4 decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly 4 decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly 4 decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So Jed is not going to use the veto because he does not want Ty to go on the block. And that means that Toya and Kiefer are going to be sitting in the nomination chairs on Thursday night. And as of right now, Tina and Tara, who have distanced themselves from the Sunsetters and committed themselves to playing the middle, and are currently leaning more toward the oddball side of things, they plan on voting Toya out, which means that Toya will be leaving on Thursday night.
That is a bummer.
Such a bummer, because like I saw some feeds where her and Tara, LaToya and Tara, were kind of bonding a little bit, and Tara talking about how she wasn't feeling that she was being appreciated, and you know, some of the I think it was Brayden was maybe making fun of her in the rap thing. And then also, you know, the Tina and Toya show, like what happened to that? Like, I wish that Toya was a game savvy enough to go to those two people, because like she has to see that those are the two people that she needs to solidify their votes with, and kind of reconnect and rebond with them and be like, you know, we have to stick together because we are the older people in the house. And like, I will be out in front of you no matter what. Like, people are going to be targeting me before you two no matter what. So let's stick together and do this. I wish that she was talking to them more at all. Yeah,
and I caught a brief interaction between Toya and Tina today on the feeds, and you can they naturally bonded at the start of the season. Their personalities mesh well together. And they had like a moment, they were just kind of talking, and it was nice. And then it kind of just got awkward because things have gotten awkward between them. And like, you know, for Tina, she's kind of making the right call. You know, Kiefer's better for her game. But for Toya, talk it out. Be like, Tina, can we talk? What happened to us? You know, what went wrong? You know, she needs to rekindle that bond and convince Tina that it's the right move to keep her in because she's a benefit to her game. I think that's a hard sell at this point because Kiefer, it does seem like much better for Tina's game at this point. But, you know, Tina has shown herself to be a little bit indecisive here and there. And so if you really make a pull for it, it's a possibility that you could convince her.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's unfortunate just because I really did like the two of them together. I felt like they were both really strong women players, and I was very excited to see how they were going to take it pretty far, like, or at least I thought. So it's really disappointing to see, you know, it kind of fade out so quickly. But, you know, I guess that's just, I'm upset that Tina is distancing herself and not like trying to keep LaToya around or like, you know, anything. I just felt like, I mean, you even said it. I remember you saying like, well, you know, LaToya seems to be like, Victoria seems to be targeting LaToya. Well, we'll see, like, not, maybe not if Tina has anything to say about it. And then Tina said nothing. So she had nothing to say, which was unfortunate because I really thought that, like, I think if Tina had, maybe if Tina had said something, she might have jeopardized her own game. But I do think there is a possibility that Tina could have convinced Victoria and everyone else, like, hey, let's not go after her. Let's go after someone else. But, you know, I do think she's making a good move for her game. It's just not really the one I want to see.
Well, and also, though, I think that them playing the middle works whether they keep LaToya or Kiefer. I don't think that like their position is going to change that much there. But I think that LaToya is going to be a better ally for both of them further down the line. I think that Kiefer, you know, he kind of says things that are not right sometimes, and he kind of puts himself in bad situations. So I don't think he's necessarily the best ally. They may like him better or feel as though they communicate better with him. But I do think that LaToya will stand up for you. She will go to bat for you. She would use that veto on you. So loyalty and how she plays the game, I think, would be a lot more beneficial than Kiefer moving forward, but they're always going to be in the middle until the end.
But I think the problem with Toya is that she will never respect that middle game. I don't think Toya will ever accept that Tina and Tara are playing the middle. It's either you're with her or you're not. And I think that's part of the problem. Part of why she's not campaigning to Tina and Tara is because she feels like they've abandoned her. They're playing the middle. They're not with her anymore. And so they're not worth her time. She's going to try and fully flip, you know, Austin and Brayden so that they're on her side and they'll be loyal. So, yeah, we'll see. Let's talk about the state of the house here, because we it's a two sided house, but there are some things to talk about within the sides and all that. So the majority of the house now, the people running the house, or the oddballs. It's Austin, Brayden, Tina, Tara, Kyle, Rowe, and Vic. Now, of course, within this oddball alliance, there are actually kind of three groupings of people. The first grouping, obviously, Austin and Brayden duo, right? Mm-hmm. Now, along with Austin and Brayden, they kind of have Vic as a third. That's the glossy,
glossies.
And so, that is kind of a trio there. Obviously, Austin and Brayden are the two that are really, dedicated to each other. Vic is kind of the third wheel in that crew. But that's the strongest connection Vic has within this alliance. Then there's Tina and Tara, TNT. And then there's Kyle and Roe, who are another duo. So it consists of three duos. One of the duos, Austin and Brayden, have kind of a third, that's Vic, attached to them. That's the makeup of the oddballs. Then you have the Sunsetters on the other side of the house, and that's Kiefer, Jed, Beth, Ty, Toya for now, and kind of still Tina. And so within the Sunsetters, you have Jed, Beth, and Ty, the love triangle trio, and within that trio, there's Beth and Ty, and there's Jed and Ty. Ty is the glue that holds the other two together. Not that they don't have a relationship of their own. This is an MVP situation where it's like, you know, Jed is like the best friend of Beth, but also she makes out with him sometimes. And then also sometimes, you know, who knows? It's all over the place. But that's the three of them with Ty in the middle. And then you kind of had Kiefer and Tina a little bit as a pair within this group, loosely attached at this point. The main group of the Alliance is this love triangle going on. And now there's also kind of like a secret third group, which is the middle group, which is Tina and Tara. And as of this morning, with this talk about keeping Kiefer, they've talked to Kiefer, kind of have Kiefer in as well. He suggested a name for their alliance called pre-90s, because they're going to be the only people who were born in the pre-90s left in the house. And so this is kind of the power broker group. Tina and Tara, again, dedicated to playing the middle. They will decide where the votes go most of the time. They will potentially decide where the power goes most of the time. And with Kiefer on board as well, it's kind of this sort of secret trio. Nobody really knows that they are together as of right now with Kiefer. And this could be very powerful if anyone in it was capable enough to use it properly. I'm not sure that they are at this point, but this is something to watch out for.
It is insane to me that Tara is like a power player now. Like, she's got herself in such a good position in the house when last week we were like, yeah, like she's one of the only people who we have no idea what they're doing because we don't even remember that she's in the house. And now all of a sudden she's like the hinge between like the two different sides.
This week is very strange. We'll talk about the Stockwatch, but this week is very strange because so much has changed in terms mm-hmm. of where people were to where people are, and everyone that benefited did nothing to earn their spot, right? Except for like Kyle and Roe did work, mm-hmm. and they have benefited probably the least in the sense that like they narrowly avoided the fire, but they are still in the pan, right? Like, and they're still trying to work it out. But all of their work has benefited a ton of other people. Yep. And then it's also everybody else's mistakes, having fallen so far, is benefiting other people. And so it's really all over the place.
I feel like I do have to say, though, that this is something that we rarely see in Big Brother, which is that a big alliance gets formed. And then you have all these little like tiny pairings and individuals on the outside of it. And this season, they've decided to join together against the main alliance. So I feel like that we don't see very often, even though it seems like the logical solution to, oh, a big alliance is forming and I'm on the outskirts. Oh, the outskirts people, let's form an outskirts alliance. And now we are a major force in the game. And now we are competing against the major alliance. You don't really see that very often anymore. So very exciting.
I also think it will crumble completely, though, if anybody that's in the Sunsetters or ex-Sunsetters alliance wins power next week. I think that, like, you know, say Beth wins, I think Austin and Brayden are going to come running back and being like, we're still good, right? And so I think that they're strong in this vote. And if they win power going forward, but I don't know if they can withstand having anybody from the ex-Sunsetters winning power next week.
I think that is very, very true. I feel the same way. Again, the consistency, the makeup of the oddballs is three distinct pairs, with one that has Vic attached to it. And they, while, you know, the sort of the carb of it all, which is, you know, was briefly a thing, but not really a thing anymore. Like Kyle and Roe do like to hang out with Austin and Brayden. They did make that social connection. But it's kind of tenuous. It's not so solid. It's not the Sunsetters. It's not Ty, Beth, Toya, and Jed. Like, those four are super tight. Even Kiefer, who is saying he recognizes that he's expendable to those people, but he's still loyal to them. Like, he's not going to jump ship from them. But he just recognizes that, like, look, I know I'm expendable. The oddballs, not as much. They haven't been together as long. And we've sort of seen from Austin and Brayden before that, like, when their ally gets in trouble, they're like, who?
I.
Oh, no, we weren't with them. What are you talking about? So It really could be. I think the next big shakeup really is if one of the Sunsetters wins this next HOH, which is part of why all of their talk, which lately has been how frustrating is it that all these power players are going to get taken out first? Shouldn't we make a truce and target the floaters? Just makes that even worse of an idea, right? Because like, no, you have a hammer and you can smash the oddballs right now, or you can be like, no. So yeah, I mean, Chantel, what do you think of this idea? Because so basically, Ty, Beth, and Jed have been talking, and they're running through the same sort of mistake that a lot of players make in these two-sided house situations. I talked about this morning, but the Howie, the Fessy, let's call a truce between the two sides and take out the person in the middle because they're getting a free ride right now. What do you think of this idea?
I'm a player that likes loyalty and sticking loyal to, you know, the people that I'm working with. I just don't think that it's a good idea because the other side is already kind of set in on what they're planning on doing. And I just don't feel as though it's the right tactic for them to be able to like kind of turn on somebody that's willing to work with them. So I don't think it's a good idea. Obviously in theory, it sounds like it's great. Like it's not one of us. It's going to be somebody else. But I don't think that it's the right move for them to suggest to the other side of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those floaters, yes, they are getting a free ride, but those are also the people who in the end game, if your side loses, you're going to need them as numbers to fight the majority. Probably. Right. So, you know, it really is. Again, I feel like the true plan should be, let me make connections on the other side. So I have people sticking up for me as an individual on my team. Mm-hmm. So that I'm the one that survives if we lose. And if we don't lose, we crush the other team because that is how any side wins the game of Big Brother. We've seen it happen over and over. One side eventually beats the other into submission. And then they have a bunch of the friendship level six. Like eventually you just kill off the other team and they're done. Mm-hmm. And now your team is the winner. So you just have to fight for those competitions. And if you willingly give one of those competitions up, you are giving away the biggest advantage you have in this format of the game.
Yeah, definitely. I ideally, moving forward, for me as a viewer, I would like to see the next side win and then the other side win and then the next side win. And then, you know, they pick each other off one by one. And then it's like, okay, who's left? I feel like that is exciting. As long as it's not just one team winning week after week after week, I'm very good with having two sides.
Yeah. All right.
Definitely. I'm definitely fine with having two sides. I'm just going to think of who do I want to win head of household next week? I feel like the defenders have not had a chance. So I guess if I'm looking at that angle, I would be interested in seeing what Jed had to do with a head of household situation. I guess Kiefer as well, because, you know, Beth would be really interesting just to see who would flock back towards her. But she was also from Team Destiny. So they've had power. They've never really had to work and scramble and be worried at all. So I would like somebody that's kind of always been a target since the day one, being that like Kiefer's team, Jed, and I guess Tina would be interesting. Not Tina, no, she was on Destiny. Who's the other person? Is that it?
Who, I've already forgotten who's on every team.
Jed, Toya.
I've already forgotten about the
team. Toya's gone. Kiefer, Jed.
Kiefer, Roe, and Brayden.
I would be interested in seeing. Well, I probably won't like it, but what Rohan would do as well. But I think that I want to see a defender win some power because they've kind of been playing Destiny's game.
Destiny's game. not their child.
No, Destiny's child.
Taryn's logging off for the night.
I was like, why did that sound familiar? Destiny's game. I don't know.
And you're like, oh, wait. Destiny's child.
Yes. Are we ready for the stock watch?
Yes.
All right. Let's.
I'm nervous for it because I did terribly, I think. I think I made almost the worst decision, but pretty much the closest.
All right. Well, here we go. Let's talk about stock watch. Let's rate the players. So, what we do here is we go through each player in the game, and we give them a rating 1 through 10 based on how well they're doing, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst. Many things factor into this rating, including long-term win prospects, their current safety position in the game, and just in general, how well are they doing? How much faith do we have in them as a player? Many different things that you can factor in here. I, again, surveyed the audience on Twitter, and you guys submitted ratings as well. And so then we'll take these ratings and we'll put them into the Stockwatch formula, and they will calculate what the new price is for all of these players. And today we are going to start with Austin. How do we feel about Austin? Chantel, let's start with you.
Okay, after talking, I feel like I went in a little bit higher than I should, but I'm going to stick with it. So I gave Austin a 6. Now, I think that she's went up a lot since last week. I think she's in a place where nobody's really coming for her anymore. She's not on anybody at the top of anybody's hit list. She made the bossy glossy. She's kept herself safe here with Victoria. She's made this new alliance, Oddballs. And so she's not necessarily strategic and planning for her future and like getting all of her ducks in a row or whatnot. But I do think that she's in a much, much, much better position than she was last week. And I think that she could, you know, with her, and she has Brayden as like a super strong loyalty, they're not even being seen really as a duo that people need to break apart. And so whatever they're doing, people are always trying to grab onto her and have her be one of their numbers. Beth is telling her intel, and, you know, she's getting a lot of information. So I think that surprisingly, her position is a lot better than it was last week. And that's why I'm giving her a 6 right now.
All right, Melissa, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm to be honest, I'm wavering between a 5 and a 6 because I feel like she is in a much better position than I thought she was in last week. I mean, she, like you said, she's not really being thought about. And not only that, she just came off an HOH week and now she's kind of fading into the background, which is not normal necessarily. I feel like usually people are still like upset about the HOH's week if it didn't go exactly to plan. And, you know, at the same time, she's made it an alliance. Like, she's in an alliance now, which was one of our biggest complaints during her HOH week. The only thing is that I do feel like it's kind of like none of her own doing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
it doesn't quite give me like confidence in her gaming ability, but it's like, yeah, she is in a better position. But like, do I think that she can either maintain that or like do anything with that moving forward? I don't know. So that's why I'm teetering between a 5 and a 6. And I'm tempted to give her a 5 just because I'd like to see where this goes. I feel like if she can maintain this week to week, like then boom, it'll go up. But I do feel like right now she's kind of just like right there at a 5.
Yes. I'm with you, Melissa, actually. I do think that her position has dramatically improved since in the short term, but just not because she did anything right necessarily, you know, like in the time period that we're rating, like she was at the edge of a cliff, looking into the abyss at the end of her HOH, and it came that close to the vote being flipped and her having a first HOH reign where the vote was flipped on her, and she's one of 3 people on the outs, like in a lot of trouble this week. And there isn't really anything that she did to change that herself. And she finds herself in a much better position, and that is great. That will give her time, and that is what she needs. She has a decent social game with people that she likes. The problem is she seems to not like many people in the house because she seems to have a lot of trouble socializing with people that she does not like. She liked Beth before, now does not. Can't even look at her. She mostly still talks with Brayden. Now she is occasionally talking with Kyle and Roe, occasionally talking with Tina and Tara, sometimes talking with Vic, and that's great. Now she's talking to half the house because she's aligned with half the house, but she's rarely talking with the other side of the house. The only person she's been talking to lately too much is now Toya, who is going, she's voting her out. Like, Toya's going home. And Toya's trying to make a connection because she's trying to get a vote. So I think that I'm going to need to see Austin, again, be a little more active in her gameplay if I'm going to give her anything above this sort of like average scoring here, because I still think that her gameplay is below average, but her position is above average, which is kind of, you know, evening itself out there. I do think she'll have some longevity. I think she needs to build more relationships. She needs more options in the end game if she gets there. And she also needs to make sure that she has enough relationships to like win a jury vote if she makes it there, right? Like, especially if like her main ally is Brayden, who we'll talk about soon, but I think who has a better social game than she does. And so, you know, if you're going to get there with Brayden or with somebody else, you know, you got to make sure that you've been talking to the people around you. It's a 5 for me. And let's see, the audience gave her a 5 as well. So 3 5s and a 6.
I was like just wavering, you know. So it's fine.
No, I was too. I feel like she's like a 5.5, honestly. Yeah,
exactly.
So I think it's fair enough to give a 6 or a 5.
There you go. Let's talk about Beth. Melissa, how do you feel about Beth?
I don't feel great about Beth, to be honest. I thought that she was in a really good position last week because she was in the Sunsetters Alliance, the main alliance, the only big alliance. And she was also, you know, in her little threesome showmance thing. And she was also forming relationships with people on the other side of the house. So I was like, wow, she's in a great position right now. She really can kind of go either way. Like that's basically like none of that is the case anymore. She's like doesn't have the relationships to the other side of the house because they're really pissed at her. And I mean, Austin doesn't want to talk to her very much. And even if they are talking to her, it's like very stilted and not really like what it was before. Also, she doesn't really have their threesome alliance because she kind of picked Ty, and just like I feel like that might end up, I don't know, creating a rift, who knows? And then, you know, the Sunsetters is not the only big alliance anymore. So not great. Did not really have a good week, Beth. Poor Beth. But you know what? She did avoid going on the block, which she like almost seemingly went on the block this week. So I guess there's that. Honestly, it's bad for me. And the reason why I'm feeling this way is because I definitely bought Beth in the Stockwatch, and I also definitely bought Kiefer in the Stockwatch. So it was almost, honestly, it was almost poetic where it was like both of them were going to be on the block, and I was going to be like, wow, both the people I bought thinking that they're going to go up are now on the block. But okay, I thought they were safe bets, but okay, I guess not. So Beth, I kind of have to go down quite a bit. I'm going to take her down to a 4.
Yeah. I'm actually also at a 4 for Beth. I think that Beth is a capable player. But I think that she has been sidetracked by this showmance thing. I think that she needed to seize on this opportunity of the flip because it was good for her game. But instead she got bogged down in this idea that like, well, I won't be able to hang out with Ty as much if that happens. And then on top of that, she should be jumping ship just like Tina is right now. She should be a middle player with Tina right now. But instead, she is going down with the ship because she's with Ty. Like, she's loyal to this cause that's going down.
It would have been really good for her. Sorry to just quickly interrupt, but what you said like struck a chord with me, because it would have been really good for her to like, even if they went with the flip, and, you know, even if their whole plan worked out or whatever, where she was supposed to be not knowing about it and they were supposed to flip and it was supposed to be shocking to her. That would have been good for her because then she's got a secret alliance with Ty and Jed. But she can play with the other side and pretend that she's upset with them. Well, like secretly, like, I mean, they could be in a room together and like, you know, kiss or whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter. But like, you know, that could have been really good for her game wise. And it does make it seem to me that she's not as dedicated to the game as she is to this showmance. Like, it doesn't sit great with me in terms of moving forward.
And here's the thing, by going down with this ship, but still trying, she is exposing all of her cards to the house, not only in terms of where her true loyalties are, but also in terms of how she lies, the kinds of ways that she lies. People can see through it because she keeps trying over and over, and they know it's fake now. And so they're getting so much information on Beth. She's losing so much credibility in the game. It's going to be hard for her to rebound from this. That said, there's not really a good reason for her to be targeted over Jed and Ty next week if the oddballs lose, which doesn't mean that she won't be, because there are definitely some people on the oddball side that are desperate to see Beth leave. But if Ty ends up leaving before her, I do think she could find a second wind in this game. I really feel like this the showmance kind of thing is holding her back. And so, yeah, it was a four for me.
Yes, it was a four from me as well. Yes, I got it right. Well, you know, with Beth, like, I really feel as though she's kind of expendable to everybody, pretty much except Ty. They were willing, even Ty was willing to have her go up and be the replacement, I believe, instead of Toya, or instead of Ty, or whoever the replacement was going to be. They were okay with it being Beth. And so I just feel as though she's just not in a really good position with a lot of people. She was spreading information that LaToya gave to her about what, Toya gave to her what Victoria had said to her about Brayden and Toya being the two possible nominees. And she goes and she tells, I believe it was Brayden, in good faith. And then she's like, I'm not with her anymore. Basically, like, she's telling me all this information. She's looking distrustful and I can't work with her. And so I think that she really put herself in a pretty bad position where she's kind of making enemies and she's not really putting herself in a better spot and nobody really cares for her to be around that much. So I don't think she's going to last too much longer.
All right. Well, the audience also went with a four for Beth. So it's going to be straight fours for Beth here. A big drop from a six to a four. Austin went up from a four to a five, Beth falling from a six down to a four. Here. So if you, went in on Beth, you are losing some money. Looks like you've lost about 33% of your investment. So not
nice.
Great. Not
great. Nice. This is really good for me. Yeah, this is good. You know, it just lights a fire under me to do well in the stock watch in the coming weeks. So,
yeah. All right, let's talk about Brayden. I feel pretty similarly about Brayden as I do about Austin. I think that he has found himself in a much better spot than last week, but not because of anything that he really did. I do think he is a better social player than Austin is. He tends to talk to more people, and more people seem to have good feelings about him. But he's yet to prove himself in any competitions like Austin has. And that's going to be big if he is going to float along to the end, with this two-sided thing, then you got to win those competitions at the end. Now, that said, of course, Paris being the prime example of somebody who never won anything until the very end, I'm still going to give a little bit of credit more toward Austin in the competition department because we know she's proven herself, and then a little more credit toward Brayden in the social department, and we'll see where this goes. These are two players where if the status quo remains the same and they don't screw up in any major way, then their stock will probably continue to rise over time. It's just a little bit early for me at least, to give them overly high ratings at this point in the game, not having a lot of faith in their ability as active game players, and not having confidence that this house, which has been shifting day to day, will remain exactly in place as it is now. So it's a five for me for Brayden. Chantel, how do you feel about it?
It's pretty similar to how I felt about Austin. I did give him it's a 5.5/6, like around that ballpark. But I did write down six. And just because I do feel, he's playing a lot better than I expected. With seeing his intro package and stuff like that, I thought he was going to be a little bit more extroverted and maybe, not be as easily friends with a lot of people in the house. And I do feel as though he is making better friendships than, as you said, Austin is. is. I like the fact that Victoria took him on the Wendy's date because that's an opportunity for them to bond. And she could have still chosen anybody to go with. And she chose him. And so that was probably for a good reason. It's probably because she wants to kind of secure their relationship or whatnot. And so I feel like that was really good for his game as well. And it just allowed them time to bond without any suspicion. So I like that. I do feel like he's in a lot better position than he was last week. I do feel he's more in control of his position than Austin is, just like a little bit. I feel like he's a little more game savvy. And I could see him maybe making some moves in the future. So I think he's doing pretty well. And I'm surprised. So 6 for me.
All right, Melissa.
Yeah, I feel the same about him that I did do with Austin. You know, much better position. Don't know if it's really his doing. Although I will say, you know, like you guys said, the social aspect of his game is a little bit better than Austin's, I think, just, you know, because he's more willing to like socialize with everybody. And if, you know, she's kind of wears her likes and dislikes on her sleeve. But, you know, I think it's hard for me to give him a higher score than a 5, just because I don't know what he's going to do with it, if he's going to do anything with it. And I think we're going to have to see. So right now he's at a 5 for me.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, about like the idea that like Austin and Brayden are in great spots. And I've said this too, like they should be penciled into the final 5 at this point, considering their position. But when you don't have faith in them as a player, it could mean anything, because if Austin won HOH next week, I think that would be very bad for her game. She probably would, you know, just make a move and people would then look at her as a big threat. And then they'd look at like Kyle and Roe and they'd be like, well, sure, Kyle and Roe are kind of the ringleaders, but Austin is the muscle. We need to get Austin out, right? Like things could change. It is only week 3. So I can't take the position of somebody who didn't do anything to get into that position and say that this is going to last forever, right? So that's where I'm at with it. Mm-hmm. And the audience does agree. They also gave Brayden a 5. So
interesting that Austin and Brayden are rated the exact same.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, but interesting.
Yes. All right. So let's move on to Jed. Let's talk about Jed. Melissa, what are your thoughts on Jed?
This is a tough one because I feel I don't know. It's hard because it's like, yeah, sure, he's not going home this week, but he is losing an ally. I don't know. This is really hard. I don't think that he's a bad player, but I think he's in a bad position right now just because his alliance was solid and now it's not. But I don't think it's anything that he is doing wrong. And I don't think that he can't get himself out of this situation moving forward. But I don't think his position is that great. And I think that they made the wrong move with not taking LaToya off the block. Maybe that's also just me being upset that they didn't take LaToya off the block, but I do think she's a better ally for them than Beth, if that was going to be the replacement. I know they thought that it was going to be Ty, but I also see people voting out LaToya over Ty anyway. So I feel like it would have been a safer bet to have Ty go on the block than LaToya, but maybe I'm just like, maybe it's just wishful thinking because I wanted LaToya to stay. I don't know. But gosh, I don't think they played this week all that great. So I was at a 6 last week for Jed. God, I kind of want to either stay at a 6 or go to a 5. I think I'm going to go to a 5 because he was in a better position last week. This week, he's not in as good a position. So I have to give him a 5.
All right. Well, the audience agrees with you, Melissa. The audience also gave Jed 5. Chantel, what do you think?
5 for me as well. I agree with you, Melissa. I think that he really misplayed the veto. I know that he was worried about Ty being the replacement. I get that. And you don't want to necessarily want to put somebody else up that's part of your alliance. But I think that they needed to call Victoria's bluff here because, like, it's just, she's been doing all these shady things and she's not being truthful and she's kind of talking in circles and saying that she's, you know, not doing this and that she wants to keep LaToya and she wants to work with you. So if she wants to work with you, she's going to forgive you for using this to save the other person that you claim to want to work with. Mm-hmm. Like, she, you can get over this hump if that was the truth. And so I do think that that was a misplayed opportunity, and because he for sure now is going to be losing a number and an ally. And it just also shows that he's willing to do anything to protect Ty, which I don't think is great for their duo. I mean, obviously, yes. Also, if he had taken off Toya, that would show that, like, he really wants to keep Toya in the game. So I get that as well. But I just don't think that that move really improved his standing. I don't think it improved his relationship with Victoria or the rest of the house. So it's a 5 for me. I want him to be doing better, but he just hasn't been.
Yes. Jed is in a weird spot here. I think one of the things that's vital, at least for my ratings, is that I'm looking at this next HOH competition as something that is really going to dictate a lot of what happens in the next coming weeks. We're looking at a situation where Tina and Tara are probably throwing this competition, which means that ultimately we're going to get a 4v4 situation. It's going to be Ty, Jed, Beth, and Kiefer versus Austin, Brayden, Kyle, and Ro. And if the Sunsetter side wins, they're probably putting up Kyle, Ro, Vic, one of those options. If the Oddball side wins, they're probably putting up Ty, Jed, or Beth. And so with that in mind, again, I think if the Sunsetters win, the Oddballs might crumble. If the Oddballs win, the Sunsetters will just end up losing another number and will probably continue this sort of side game for a little bit longer. And so with that in mind, I'm looking at Jed and I'm thinking, like, he is a very likely casualty of this war. Like, this is not looking super great for him right now. He's a massive target heading into next week. And I don't have a lot of faith in his strategic ability. It is not been a good week for Jed strategically. And so I do not have faith that he could make the right decision, especially if he ends up, even if he does survive, if he loses Ty, who I also don't have a lot of faith in, but is at least a little bit more even keeled, then like, where does he go and what does he do? I'm not sure. However, he has proved himself to be good at physical competitions. This veto was something that was apparently physical, and we also know that he has a great memory for these mental competitions. So if he does survive, I think he could become a comp beast in the future. I think he could win a lot of things, and that's huge in this game. Additionally, Ty is kind of considered to be the one that is the consensus target between the two of them. With all that said, I went down to a 4 for Jed. I'm not feeling great about his long-term prospects. There is a lot of work
ahead. He was in a 7 for you.
There's a lot of work ahead for Jed.
I feel like this
to
is
a 4.
Like, that's crazy. I feel like last season it was like everyone was just like barely fluctuating, and I feel like now we're like down up. Oh my god.
I mean, remember, I am grading since the last time the roundtable happened, and since the last time the roundtable happened, spoilers for Ty, these guys made a colossal error, and they have not even been doing well since then, and they are two of the most likely people to go home next week. Like, they are impressive guys. I think they can probably win a lot of comps, but right now it is not looking great. For Jed and Ty, I tried to warn you. I tweeted out that your stocks are not looking good for me. I'm going to be harsh on all the players all night long. So yeah, just wait for it.
They're not doing great. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Kiefer. Chantal, how do you feel about Kiefer?
Okay, I don't like when any person decides to tell the head of household to nominate them. So I know that he had his conscience was kind of bothering him with how he threw Victoria's name out. And I get that he might want to clear his conscience there. Go apologize, make nice, but just please don't say, I want to go home or I want to put up on the blocks to make me feel better about the situation. So that alone really bothered me about his gameplay. And even in the weeks, the last couple weeks, he's been saying that he kind of wants to go home and he might not be made for this game. Just putting that out there, whether he feels that or not, say that for the diary room, please. Like, don't tell people within the house, because it just makes him be a perpetual pawn. And I just don't like that if it's gameplay or like that to watch. So with that, I gave him a 4 because I don't think he's in the worst position. I do think he's going to stay this week with the potential of him joining up with Tina and Tara. He could be in a pretty good position if he works it well. And I don't see him being one of the next like 4 or 5 targets. So I think he's in an okay position. I don't know if he'll use it well or if he's going to do something and then say like, oh no, put me up. I don't want you to put anybody else up. Just put me up instead so I can absolve my guilt. He might do something like that. So I don't really trust him in his position right now. So I gave him a 4.
All right, Melissa.
Yeah, I have been really disappointed in Kiefer this week. I do not like the like whole sad boy thing. Like, oh, I'm not made for this game. I don't want to lie in front of my kids. And this is a sad thing. I'm not good enough. Like, send me home. No, that stuff is like, it's so bad. It just puts such a bad taste in my mouth. And also like everyone who's playing, like puts a bad taste in their mouth and it gives them an easy reason to get you out. Like, I just feel like it's asking to be voted out. And I feel like he wouldn't even care. I feel like he'd be like, okay, that's fine. Like, go ahead, let me go. Like, send me out the door. I don't like it at all. He should not have said, put me on the block. He, you know, I mean, there's a possibility he goes home this week. I don't really see it happening, but even so, I don't have any faith in his game moving forward. He doesn't seem to really care. And also, you know, he's made a lot of mistakes. The whole Victoria, like blaming it all on Victoria thing, that wasn't good. And I feel like there's so many situations where people have to coach him as to what the right thing to say is, that it's like, I can understand in the very beginning of the game, if you don't really know it very well, like people have to say like, no, no, you don't say this or you don't say that. But like, you should at least start to understand like some of the game and understand like what not to say and what to say, you know, just like general, like social, I don't know, gameplay. It just seems, like it's not there. So, you know, I, as much as this hurts my stock, I got to give him a 2.
Whoa!
I just have to. I like, honestly, it gets me so much when somebody says like, send me home or like, put me on the block. Like, even if, and honestly, like I was going to give him a 3 because I was like, you know what? He did form this like this pre-90s thing. Like, okay, maybe that will be helpful moving forward. But I don't have any faith in his gameplay at this point. Like, he needs to prove to me that he actually would know what to do in the game. And I feel like, you know, he also got in a fight with Kyle and Roe. And it's like, I just, that wasn't good either. I just feel like he's been involved in so many bad things this week that I don't have the faith. And so I'm, you know, I'm sticking the knife in my own heart of my stocks, but you know, whatever. So be it.
Yes.
Whoa.
I'm mostly with you. I gave Kiefer a 3. So I'm a little bit in the middle here. I felt like I would have given him a 4. But he's on the block, and so that penalized him down to a 3 for me. He should be staying, and when he does, I do think he should be here for a while. It's another one of these players, like Austin, like Brayden, and we'll talk about Tina and Tara later. Like, he should be here for a while. Of those players, though, he is the one that I have the least amount of faith in as a player. He just does not command a lot of respect in the game, and his social relationships have been trashed in this house. And so, like, even if he did make it down to the end, it's going to be tough for him, I think, to have some kind to have the respect. He's going to need to win a lot of comps. And granted, he's been doing pretty decently in the competitions, but you know, we'll see if that continues throughout the game. Now, I do think the biggest thing for me, the reason why it was almost a 4, is that conversation this morning, his connection to Tina and Tara as potential swing votes, them as a trio that nobody really knows about, is pretty much the most accumulation of power there is in the House right now. And that's a pretty good spot to be for Kiefer. It is where he can win back any kind of respect if he's capable of it. I just don't know that he's capable of it. So it was a 3 for me. And the audience also gave Kiefer a 3. So that's going to be a 3 overall for Kiefer.
Oh, these are devastating losses for me.
It's another, yeah, it's another 36% loss. Yeah. Oh, boy.
So bad.
Oh, boy. Well,
so bad. It's a come from behind victory. It'll be for me, I'm assuming.
Well, we're learning how these people are playing. We can now predict a little bit better.
Right. Yes, of course. Now I will be able to fully give my score, yeah, and the stock watch is going to skyrocket.
We say as we give 5s because we have no idea where the house is about to go.
Yeah, what the heck is going on here? Yeah, I feel like a lot of people's stock watches are going to be really all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, again, I feel like it is literally a 50-50 shot next week in what direction the house will go, whether it'll stay sides, whether it won't stay sides, which side will win. You know, there's so many different places this whole house can go. So that's part of why everything is starting to consolidate toward the middle right now. There's just so much uncertainty. And then also, there are no standout players that like really have shown that like when the chips are down, they know what to do. That's not the case for really anybody, except for maybe Kyle. Kyle, I'll start with the audience on this one. One of the higher ratings from the audience, Kyle got a 6 from the audience. I am a little bit lower on Kyle. I actually stayed on 5 for Kyle. I gave Kyle a 5 last week, and I gave him the same rating this week. And last week I said Kyle is probably a more capable player than his rating indicates. And I still think that's true. But I feel like since the last time we had the round table, when I gave him the 5, his game and position plummeted much further than where it was, because we knew that it was on a precipice, that if he got ratted out, or that he, if things went wrong, that he could get into a really bad position. And he did. It went down. Roe was going to be voted out. But then he managed to claw his way out of it and build up a resistance. Great stuff, but it really just got him back to where he was before with a little bit better odds. And so now the next step is, okay, survive this coming war. He's currently not set up too well to do that because he is one of the people at the forefront to be targeted if the opposition wins in the next HOH competition. There are a couple things that he has going for him, and that's that this whole idea that Ty, Jed, and Beth might try and find a way to make peace with him. I think that ultimately, even if they do go through with that plan, which I don't think they will, I think that would fall on Vic rather than an actual floater, but that would at least protect him. And I think that the fact that Vic is running around pissing people off left and right has been great for Kyle. Additionally, he has a better social game than Ro. People like Tina and Tara like him better than Ro. People like Kiefer like him better than Ro. And as those three are, again, power brokers in the house right now, that could help save him at a crucial moment and send Ro home over him if he really needs it. But right now, he's just in too much danger for me to give him a higher rating than a 5. He is one of the people that could very, very easily be out the door next week. And so with that in mind, I gave him a 5. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm holding at a 5.2. I think that, like you said, it's kind of gone up and down for him. It's like some good things, some bad things. And I think if you are on a week and you have to go on an apology tour on that week and like go around everybody telling them you're not a bully, like, I feel like that means that you didn't have quite the best week. So yeah, I don't see him in a worse position, really. I just kind of see him like going up and then also coming back down. So he's kind of just lingering at that 5, but I could see a situation where he does better, but I could also see a situation where he does worse next week. So we'll see.
All right, Chantel. Yeah.
For me, I'm sitting with you guys at a 5 for him. I didn't particularly like how he was speaking to Kiefer and just kind of the arrogance that he had when, you know, with how the week has been shaking out. And even in the previous week when he was talking to Josh, like, he didn't really want to give him the time of day. I just don't think his social game is that great with the people that he's not working with. And I don't particularly like him that much. So for me, it's just, I don't know if he's going to do that well. And I agree with both with you. I don't think that he's going to necessarily make it out next week. Like, I'm not like, oh, for sure, he's good for a couple of weeks. Like, no, like, he's probably in the hot seat next week. Like, chances are he's going to see the balk if that the other side wins. And so I just don't think that he's in a really great position. But it's better. It's a little bit better position with the fact that he has this new alliance that's, I think it's a temperamental alliance, but it is a new alliance for him. And so it's a little bit of an okay position, but I don't think it's great. So 5.
Yeah, he's put in good work, and he is, again, in a better position than before, but it's still such a dangerous position. Yes. Ultimately, no increase for Kyle, which, to be fair, in a week like this, no increase, not a bad place to be. I would, though, expect that next week, if the oddballs win, especially if Kyle doesn't win, but an oddball does, say Roe, or even better, Bray or Austin win this next HOH, that's when I expect Kyle to really start to move upwards. But if the other side wins, he might be going home. And that's why he's in the middle right now. So there it is with Kyle. Melissa, let's talk about Toya.
I'm not going first. Okay. I can't. I just like, I don't, she's at a 7. Like, I can't be the one. Put the audience first. Have somebody else go.
All right. The audience gave Toya a 3 this week.
Oh, man.
They gave her a 3.
It's so sad how the mighty have fallen. I mean, it feels like, this doesn't usually happen where someone's at like a 7 and then all of a sudden it's like it goes down so far. God. Yeah, I have to give a 3, I think, as well, because I just feel like it's like the odds are she's going to be going home this week. But if anybody can pull off a flip, you know, maybe it's LaToya. I don't know. And I also don't think that this is anything that's like her doing, really. I mean, obviously the whole flip wasn't great, but I don't think that it was her mess that put her on the block necessarily. I think that if anyone else had won, I think maybe they would have gone after Jed or Ty. I don't necessarily think they would have gone after LaToya. So I think because Victoria won HOH, it kind of all crumbled for her. Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing because I don't think she's a bad player. I just think that she's really strong, and I think people notice that. I don't know. I am surprised, to be honest, that she's getting targeted over Jed and Ty, who are like the big, strong men. I don't know. You'd think that those two would be put up, but, you know, so be it.
Yeah, I've got her at a 2. Yeah, that's she's going home this week.
And oh, don't say that. There's still a chance.
Still a chance.
That last minute flip she tried to orchestrate was ill advised. She was making the right call in the sense that the flip should have happened.
Yeah,
but the wrong call in the execution. It needed to have been done so much earlier, and she didn't get it done. And especially given how the previous flip had happened, that's why she's going on the block when Vic is there, because she took out Vic's ally with a similar kind of flip. And then she put Vic on the spot again this week and she didn't appreciate it. I do feel like she kind of put herself in this position to some degree. I also have not loved her campaign. I feel like she is asleep at the wheel here, and mm-hmm. she is not, you know, playing as hard as she needs to be in this moment. And so, for me, it's a 2. I unless she really changes her tune, I just don't see her staying. And, it's going to be rough here. Chantel, what do you think?
The 2, that's so rough. It was really painful for me to write down a 3. But I think that she does deserve a 3. Now, I wish that she was using some of her like police, like negotiation skills or something and assessing these people a little bit better, because she's not offering people anything that's going to entice them to want to mm-hmm. keep her. She's kind of just telling them that like it's a dumb move to vote her out, or like kind of like being a bit bossy about how people should be playing this game and not really appealing to like what would make them want to keep her. And so kind of her campaign strategy is giving them more reason to vote her out, which is obviously really terrible. We know that Victoria doesn't like being told what to do, and that's all that that LaToya has been doing is telling her what to do. And so with the fact that she can't recognize that with everybody that she's been campaigning to is not really receptive to what she's saying, and she hasn't switched and pivoted her strategy, I think it's a major flaw in her game, and it's most likely going to send her out the door. And because I have a little bit of hope that maybe her allies can come together and do some campaigning for her, and maybe they can get her to stay. But on her own merit, I don't think that she has the chops. And so it's a 3 from me.
All right. So down to a 3 from the 7.
So brutal.
This is definitely one of the higher stock watch crashes that yeah. we've seen. But we'll see how a tie goes. Next up we have Rohan. Rohan from the audience got a 5 this week. Chantal, how do you feel about that?
I was waffling between a 4 and a 5. I end up going with a 4 because I think that he's in a worse position than Kyle. And so, I think that Rohan would more likely go before Kyle did. And so if Kyle's a 5, he's a 4 in my eyes. I do think that he's most likely going to be on the block next week. Very easily could be going out next week. I think it is decent that he has this new pretend alliance. I don't know if it's a real alliance or not, like the oddballs. I don't know how secure that is, but he has that and he didn't have that before. So yeah, it's a 4. I'm not really that, I don't really enjoy watching him as much as a lot of the other people. Kind of how he speaks to people is a little bit condescending and a bit annoying. And so I can see that people might not want him to be around. And so I don't know how long people will keep him in the game. So 4.
Yeah, I was also between a 4 and a 5 for Ro. Ultimately, I have also landed on the 4, just because hearing from so many different people that they like Kyle better. Mm-hmm. Like even if the other side wants to target Kyle, I don't think they have the numbers to take out Kyle over Ro. And Kiefer makes some very good points about how, you know, he felt like Ro was more of the aggressor in the sort of intimidation situation that he felt himself in. And yet Kyle was the one who apologized the most, who was the mm-hmm. most sincere and engaging in his apology. And Ro didn't really do that. Ro's social game just isn't quite as there as Kyle's is. Kyle is also the person who seems to be driving most of the strategic play between the two of them. And yet Ro finds himself in a position where he could go home over Kyle. And that is not great. So for me, Ro got 4. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you guys said it all. Same here. Giving him a 4.
There you go.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All right, let's talk about Tara. Let's talk about Tara, because last week I gave Tara a 4, and mm-hmm. And this week I'm going to give her one of the higher ratings of the week.
It's crazy.
I'm going to give Tara 6. Yep. She Ooh. Is in this middle position. Now, Tara is in a position where not only is she safe because she's not much of a target on the oddball side of things, but she's also in a position where, again, she's with this group in the middle, and in being in the middle in a game with two sides is the best place to be. Now, the only downside is she's visibly in the middle, and so it might just piss people off enough, like Ty and Jed, that they might just come for her anyway. I just don't believe that they would actually do it. I really don't. When they talked about it, again, they talked about like putting Vic on the block, like Vic and Tara, or like something like that, right? They didn't really talk like Tina and Tara. It was more like Vic and Tara, and that's because Vic is pissing them off quite a bit as well, right? And so I think that even if they did go through with some kind of like peace treaty kind of deal, I think that Vic is the one that would take the heat for that more so than Tara, especially because Tara has people that will back her up more so than I think Vic will. I think that because Tara has Kiefer on side, Kiefer, who will be in the ear of Ty, Jed, and Beth, steering them away from Tina and Tara. And you know, Tara also, of course, has Tina on her side. So that's another person. Will Austin and Bray really stand up for somebody like Vic when the chips are down and it's like, well, who from our alliance is going up? I don't think so. And so I do think that Tara is in a good position. I also think that now that she has some power, she kind of knows what to do with it. She understands that she should be playing the middle. She's understanding that she should be throwing the HOH. Now, this is coming from my low expectations, right, of prior. This is not like, she's the next Cody, guys. Like, no. But in a house full of people who have barely any idea how to, like, walk in the game of Big Brother, she seems to have figured it out, right? For me, she's in one of the best spots in the house. She is, in fact, a six here. Melissa, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I rate her a six as well. I think she's in a really good position this week, much better than last time. I feel like last week, like, no one wanted to work with her. She was a non-entity and it was like just an easy person that you could just throw up on the block and pick off. And I don't necessarily think that's the case now. She's making good, strategic relationships with specifically with Tina, who I think is a really good player. And I think that's really good for her. The fact that her and Tina and Kiefer have, you know, formed this little alliance, I do think that that's good. While I don't think Kiefer is like a great strategic resource, I think like it is good to kind of form something else other than the two big sides. So I think that's really good. My concern, I guess, moving forward is like, I don't know if she knows what to do with it. I don't know if she can, you know, really pick off the ground and just like go running, you know, I don't know. So that's why I'm not going any higher, even though I do think she's in one of the best positions in the house right now. But, you know, if they decide to form a truce, like Tara was saying, you know, then we'll see. Then she might be in a bad position because she would be an easy target. So at this point, from what we know right now, I think she's a six.
All right.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't go that high. I thought about it, but I couldn't do it. I gave her a five. And this is because, like, okay, yes, her position has drastically improved, and that's impressive. But the fact that she felt that she was so on the outside before, and I don't think that she made, headways with Austin and Brayden. Like, I don't think that she's improved her relationships with them. She may be voting with them this vote, but I don't know how much protection she's going to have from the rest of that side of the house. And so, yes, she's going to be the swing vote for maybe the next couple of weeks, but I don't know if she has better, like a good friendship relationship. And so I just don't see that many people fighting for her to stay, maybe other than Kiefer and Tina. And so with nobody really caring about her being here, I couldn't give her higher than a five.
All right. Well, the audience went with a six for Tara. Yes.
So high.
It was very close there for Tara, but they did go with a six.
Tara really improved.
Tara, yes, up from the four from last week, all the way up to a six. That's probably going to end up being the best buy of the week here.
I do think I bought her.
Oh, wow.
Oh!
Wow.
I don't remember for sure, but I think I did.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, the audience isn't quite done yet, because the highest rated player of the week from the audience was, in fact, Tina, who did receive a 7 from the audience. Melissa, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel good about that. This one's a tough one for me, because she's one of those ones who I feel has gone up and down, like kind of wavering. Because it's like, you know, she finds herself in a good position. Yes, she is losing an ally in LaToya, and kind of, you know, at one point she was in both alliances, which I think she kind of still is, except now the Sunsetters, who it did seem were really loyal to her, are now, their numbers are kind of going to dwindle, and maybe they will see her being as more playing the middle and not really on their her side. And now they won't be as loyal to her. Maybe they'll feel betrayed. I don't know. I think that she's in a more precarious position now, but I think it could end up being better for her. Like, I think being in the middle is certainly a riskier position, just because you're kind of playing both sides. But at the same time, I think that she's finding herself in a good ally in Tara. I think that, you know, like I said, bringing Kiefer in is good. And I think she could go far in this position if it works out for her. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. But I do think that, like, I felt better about her game last time when I thought that her and LaToya were a very strong pair, because I thought that the two of them were a strategic powerhouse. Whereas I don't know if I see that in Tara just yet. So I feel like I have to, I don't feel like I can really give her the 8 just because we don't know what's going to happen. So I think, it's tough, because I feel like it's not like she's in that much worse of a position. It's just a different position and we don't know what's going to happen. I feel like I know I'm like rambling, but I think I was more solid on her position last week because I knew what that meant. Like, I knew, like, okay, being in the middle of a big giant power alliance, I know what that means, and I know you can go far, versus being in the middle and having this precarious position. So I'm going to give her a 7, but it's a strong 7, and I feel like it's almost an 8.
All right, Chantal, what do you think?
I'm in agreement here. I also rated her a 7. I do think that she's in probably the best position in the house. I think that if she's up on the block next to anybody, I feel like she stays. I don't feel like she's anybody's number one target, anybody's enemy right now. And I think that she's going to go pretty deep into the game. And the deeper that she goes, I think that she's going to start gaining some stronger allies. So I have the most faith in her game right now. Doesn't say that much, you know, with all the rest of the house guests. But I am most curious to see how she maneuvers the rest of this season. And I have the most faith in her. So I'm giving her a 7. I think it definitely could improve, obviously, depending on how the weeks go down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think like a solid 7. I'm with you. Solid 7.
Yeah, solid 7.
Oh man, my stock hammer just got softened up here. I was so prepared for all the Tina holders to drop, because I gave her a 6. I gave her a 6. And that's because, well, like, look, I agree. Similar to Tara, I think she is in a solid position in the middle, probably the best position of the house, even better than Tara. But I do still think it's a worse position than she was in before. I think that she has a stronger rating for me than Tara does. But Tara barely made a 6 for me. And Tina is not quite high enough for the 7 for me. And part of that is because I just don't have nearly as much faith in her as a player as I did last week. Just the amount of indecision that I saw from her in the previous week is just not promising for the kind of game that I think that she is trying to play, right? If you're going to play the middle, you need to make decisive movements. And you need to know exactly where you want to go and why. It seems like she has sort of like decision paralysis sometimes, where she's like, well, I guess either way. And that kind of works right now, but it will not work in the end game. She is going to need to take a strong stance at some point. And so that's where I feel like she needs to get there. She's also not doing enough maintenance on her relationships, which I don't like. Sure. Now, that said, she is so good at relationships that she has a ton of them to manage, which is why she's not managing all of them. And I do think that unlike Tara and Kiefer, who are also in this sort of potentially sort of middle position, I think that she is somebody that does command respect and that people do really like, and that if she makes it to the end, she's winning this thing. And I don't think there's a question about that. So I do think that she is probably the strongest player in the game right now, but not by much. And I just don't have faith that she'll be able to hold on to this in a house that is this topsy turvy. I don't think there's any player that's good enough to really hold on to the best position. And so, you know, that's where I kind of land on her. The truce stuff is definitely worrying. You know, again, I don't think it'll happen, but if it did, that would be bad, obviously. I still don't think she would take the hit for it. I think, again, Tara or Vic probably would, but it's still not great. I think that this whole thing with Kiefer is very good if she maintains it. And that's kind of the thing as well. So for me, it was a 6. But she is going to hold on to that 7, much to the, the cheers of the audience who all invested in Tina last week. Let's talk about Ty, who I do not think the audience will be cheering. When I talk about Ty, at least, I'll start, since I've signaled this, I'll start with Ty. You guys can counteract me here, but I gave Ty a 4, and let me tell you, he was lucky to get a 4 from me, because I have not been impressed. I like Ty a lot. I think he's a really chill guy. I think he is an amazing social player, but strategically, he has consistently fallen short. I mean, he had a conversation with Vic earlier today where she was like, yeah, Beth has actually been stabbing you in the back for so long. And he was like, could Beth have been stabbing me in the back for so long? Like, what are you talking about, Ty? Why are you even considering this? Like, he's not gonna believe it, but the fact that he's even considering it is so unpromising. And so on top of that, he's also the biggest target on his side. He is the one that everyone was going to want to go after next week. And that's because he's so impressive. It's because he's so social. So I don't think that Ty is out of this game. It's a 4. I just think he's in a lot of danger of being sent home next week. And I just don't have faith that even if he does rebound, he'll always make the right call. And he's going to be in some precarious situations. I think that he can do well. He just needs to get back into a spot where he can work the social game and doesn't have to focus as much on the strategic game, in my opinion. Or he could just like get his head straight and start thinking about the strategic situation better. That's where I stand. I'll give you the opposing position right away. The audience disagrees with me on Ty. The audience gave Ty a 6. So they are on the other side of things. So you two are going to be potentially in the middle here. Help us break the tie, Chantal.
I don't know if it's just because I really like him so much, but I gave him a 6.
Now,
I did have a 5, and then I changed it to a 6, and like I kind of was going back and forth. I do feel like he's better socially. Like, that's just undeniable. Definitely better than Jed. So I felt for myself, I just wanted to give him a point higher than Jed. He's likable. He's level-headed. He definitely isn't strategic, and I definitely agree with you there, Taryn. It brings me to the conversation when him and Jed went to talk to Victoria, and I'm like, why are they going in a duo? Like, he had to go separately and like work his relationship with Victoria, because the reason why she's so mad at all this is because she wants the attention. And so I wish that he was a little bit more strategically savvy, and then he would be able to use his position a little bit better, and like, you know, his social game a little bit better. I just couldn't give him a little bit lower than a 6, though, because I like him so much. I have hope for him to do better. I think that he could make friends with people. Like, I could see him, you know, going to Ro and Kyle and making nice with them, and maybe having some sort of allegiance with them, and like, let's not go after each other. Like, maybe they could do that. Yeah, I had to give him a 6. But I understand your four. I understand it.
Well, thank you. Well, that's the thing. Well, that's the thing about Ty too, where it's like even Ty will say like, "Oh my God, we're so dumb. Like I'm so dumb," but he's so charming that when he says it, you're like, "Oh, Ty, you're not that dumb." But when you think about it, like, it hasn't been great. Hasn't been great. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I got to go right in the middle and give him a five. I think his social game is carrying that rating at this point. But, you know, I think I could see a situation where he does well next week. I mean, it really all depends. But at least at this point, he's losing an ally, a very good ally of his. And, you know, I do think that that paints a target more on the fact that he's a duo with Jed, and also the fact that he's got Beth there. So I do think he's in a dangerous position because I think people will see him as a leader on that side. And, you know, that's dangerous for him. So, yeah, got to give him a five.
There you go. Jed with a brutal fall here as well. Similar to LaToya's actually, in terms of the loss that you're going to take your tie shares. All right, let's talk about Vic, the final piece on our board. Chantal, let's start with you.
I went back and forth between a three and a four, and I landed on a four. She has proven that she can win competitions, and she's proven that she won't allow herself to be pushed around. She will make whatever decision she wants to make. I just don't have faith that she'll make a good decision for her game. And so with that, like we've been saying it, like great feeds, like so entertaining, but like, is it really strategically sound? I don't think so. I feel as though she's in a worse position in the game than she was before she went head of household, which I think is completely opposite of what you want. If you're going to have that power, you better have yourself lined up moving forward, and that nobody's really going to be coming after you. And I feel like pretty much half the house is going to be coming after her because of this week. So I gave her a four because I do have, you know, I believe that she could probably win more things in the future. She made that new alliance. So if that sticks true for a couple weeks, that's definitely good for her. But I couldn't really give her higher than a four because I don't trust that she'll make a strategically sound decision.
Yeah, I was in the same spot, three or four. And, you know, because as an HOH with a singular goal, she did accomplish her goal, and she was doing things that I was wishing that Austin had been doing last week. But then she did so much more as well. That I am just like part of the reason. So like I've kind of spread out the ratings here. Both sides have are pretty low, like four to five range for both sides. And then the people in the middle a little bit higher. Right. That's sort of where I'm at. But you have people like Austin, Braden, and Kyle who made fives for me. Ro is a four, whereas like Jed and Ty and Beth are all fours right now. For me, at least. No. And part of the reason why is because I feel like Vic took the most amount of heat from this. And Vic is sort of absorbing some of the heat that should be on Austin, Braden, and Kyle. And so for me, she is at the three. She has just taken so much of this heat, and it's been great for her allies, not great for her. On top of that, it is exactly what Chantal said. It is the fact that I just have no faith in Victoria as a player whatsoever. Like I just cannot see a scenario where I'm like, oh, I know for sure that Vic will make the right decision in this moment. Like I just can't see it right now. Personally, I was a huge fan of Vic. I was very disappointed in the language that she was using this week. But apart from that, I was a huge fan, and I do enjoy watching her game. I hope that she proves me wrong as a player. I hope that she continues to entertain us on the feeds for sure. But I just don't think it will happen. So it's a three from me. Melissa, where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're rating for like entertainment and feeds, I think I give her a 10. But yeah, other than that, we're not rating for that. So, you know, I have to give her a three. I just feel like she did so much, which was great for us to watch, but not good for her game. So, we'll see how it goes for her. But yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't think she's in a better position now. I think she's in a really weird position at this point. And I think she just did way too much. So, you know, yeah, gotta give her a three.
All right. Well, the audience is on a slightly different page than us. They're living for Victoria. They gave her a five. They gave her a five. So a bit higher,
I thought you were going to say like an eight or something. Oh my God. I don't know what's going on.
That would not be a different page. That would be a different planet, actually. would be the spicy V planet. So there we go. Those are the ratings. Quite a lot of change going on in the stock watch. I believe that Tara ended up as the best buy of the week with a 25% increase, followed by Brayden with a 20% increase. And then the biggest loss was LaToya with about 55% of your investment lost, followed by Ty with about 54% of your investment lost. We made a mistake giving Ty an eight last week. We apologize. That one was on us. But if you bought him at that overpriced price, that one is on you. Unless you listened to my Twitch stream where I said he was a safe buy, in which case that one is also on you because I disclaimed that you should not blame me for any mistaken buys. So there we have it. All right. That was the stock watch. Let's see if I think we have the leaderboard updated already, which is great, except I don't have it set up to be shown yet. So we're going to talk about some other things first. let's talk about how people rated the episodes of Big Brother Canada this week. 7 out of 10 episodes. Not bad.
No.
It's pretty high.
No, I thought the episodes were pretty good.
I asked, how would you rate the feeds this week?
Oh.
8.5.
Oh, yeah,
they were good feeds. They were good feeds.
That is, if I'm not mistaken, probably by far the highest rating we have ever received on the Stockwatch survey for the feeds.
It was a thrilling week.
Yes, it was quite a week on the feeds. I asked, how would you rate the season as a whole so far? 8.2.
Wow.
Interesting.
We're doing pretty well so far.
Pretty well.
Feels good.
You know, I'm very curious to see how far that number will fall over time.
Hopefully not at all. Hopefully it stays up high.
Yes, but that's what we have for those numbers. I asked you guys to rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite, so to see what you guys are thinking in terms of these players. And at the top, do we have any guesses? Who was the highest rated player, favorite wise, from the audience?
I think it's still going to be Tina.
That is correct. Tina with all the top spot. Yeah. But who was number two?
Victoria? For fun.
Correct. Two for two.
We're geniuses.
All right. Can you go three for three? I won't make you go any further. Can you go three for three? Who's number three?
Ty?
Chantel?
Oh, yeah, I think I would agree with you. It's Ty being number three.
You're both three for three. It's Ty.
We're amazing.
We could keep going here, but LaToya was number four. LaToya is number four. Down at the bottom, who do you guys think is down at the very, very bottom here?
That's hard.
All right.
Let me guess. Maybe Kiefer, but maybe that's just a personal thing right now.
Melissa can't be stopped. It's Kiefer. Yes.
Whoa! Voice of the people, right here.
Kiefer and Beth was second to last there on the favorite list. All right.
Where was Rohan then?
Rohan is like smack dab in the middle here.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Just above Kyle. Okay. And right below us.
Above Kyle. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. All right. Let's hop over. Let's take a break from these extra poll questions. Let's hop over to the leaderboard. For the Stockwatch. I believe
we don't this need to
is what we have going. Let me know if you guys can see this. I do have
yes.
it dark moded, but Valerie is in first place, tied for first place with a few people. Matt, the Martis, Cheesy, Max, Mo, BB Fan, Alex, Cleveland.
Did they all buy Beth?
And
Tara?
Let me try and scroll. It's not letting me scroll. I can't figure
we'll
out.
We'll never
what they
know.
Bought. Hold on. they bought Tara. Tara.
Yep.
Makes sense. So there you go. They bought Tara. We can search for me. wow. What?
Whatever.
Oh, goodness.
It's rigged.
Me?
It's rigged.
I would never have guessed it.
Like he strategically had those low numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went in on Tina. I really thought I was bringing Tina down tonight, but you guys said otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I guess anyone that went in on Tina is in 21st place, tied with me. Let's check in on Melissa. There's like 300 people tied for 21st place, so it's not actually that impressive, guys. Melissa Bot is one of them. Melissa is the worst Melissa.
Oh no, I'm the worst Melissa. How can this have happened?
I'm so nervous.
How is Melissa Bot so good at this? Like they are like so far up, even in like the all-time leaderboard. It's like I can't even compare. I should just have my bot just buy my stocks for me.
It's Melissa, but robotified. It's just a better version of Melissa.
It's the truth.
It's just no emotions. Yeah, go in there.
So yes, okay. Melissa went in on Beth and Kiefer. Chantel, yeah. let's check out where you are.
I'm nervous. Bottom.
Okay. Better than Melissa. You bought a Beth. You bought a Kyle, a Ro, and 10 Tara, and 8 Ty. So
you use my old strategy of diversifying my portfolio.
Because I didn't know, I couldn't tell who to put it on, so I just bought some of the low stocks. And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to hope that they improve their standings.
I should have done that. I shouldn't have tried to change up my strategy.
But I'm probably going to narrow in more now. But I just wanted to spread things out this week.
All right.
Man.
There we are.
Devastating.
That's where the Stockwatch
this is.
This
was supposed to be my year.
Wait, what are we at? Like 500th place? I can't tell.
You are currently at 1,038th place.
Yeah. You're nowhere near 500.
Melissa's at 1,510th.
I did this badly last year, I don't think. Well, in the beginning, and then at the end, it just sucked.
This is really like a normal thing for me at this point. I don't know if I'll ever make it above the 1,000 mark.
I've seen you do really well before.
Really yeah. Well is relative, really.
I think a lot of people lost some money. A lot of people barely made any money, so... I think there's still time. It's just the first week.
And how many people entered this week? Or
how many players total? That's a good question. Let's try and take a look
here. Percentage. It's a little more valid.
Looks like over 1,700 people playing in the Canadian
Stockwatch.
So
we're not that. Yeah, we're not that good.
The bottom 2/3
doesn't help us. We're literally in the bottom.
Wait, you have 200 people there.
Also,
like,
how horrible! Taryn shows off like the last people. It's like, yeah, okay, so these guys are the worst. So just make sure you all take a look at the names, see what not to do.
Oh boy. All right. Well, again, it's just there's plenty of time to catch up. And with a game that is this all over the place, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for people to not only catch up, but for other people to screw up. And you can pull ahead in that way.
I can do this.
This should be interesting here as we move forward in the stock watch. All right, let's talk about some more of these questions. Who is the best person for Victoria to have targeted for her game? The vast majority of the audience agrees LaToya was the right call for her to target. Not the way that she targeted. Maybe another question, but LaToya was the correct target according to the audience. I also asked who the audience wants to be evicted this week. This one actually surprised me a little bit. 64% want Kiefer to be evicted. 35%, they're almost 36%, want Toya to be evicted. I was surprised. I thought there'd be more on Kiefer, less on Toya here.
Yeah, I don't see the benefit in having Toya leave, but whatever. I mean, I want Toya to stay for sure. That would be, I mean, if we could have this awesome, amazing, entertaining week and then also get to keep LaToya, that would be ideal.
Well, like, we're all these twists that we hate. Like, can't one of them come in when we really want somebody to be saved? Please, what happened to that purple ball that was found? Like, does it mean something? Please.
Yeah,
what?
I know. Does it, though?
You know, what's really interesting here is that the next question on this survey was, are you team Sunsetters or team Oddballs? And weirdly, the percentage is almost exactly the same. 64% are team Oddballs. 35% are team Sunsetters, which is weird because you'd think that all the Oddballers would want LaToya out and all the Sunsetters would want LaToya in. And so those percentages would make sense that they were all the same, except they're reversed.
Mm-hmm. That's really odd. Yeah. Also, let's keep in mind that I lost my draft pick last week. And now if LaToya leaves, I will be losing my draft pick this week.
Oh, so I guess we picked similarly because
it's a bad week for me.
Josh on my team and LaToya on my team. And the last person on my team is Jed. Oh, God.
I have Beth. I have Austin. I'm okay for now.
Now, but yes, that does mean that the Oddballs are the favorites amongst the audience as of right now. We'll see if that changes over time. I also asked, who do you want to win the HOH next week? And at the top of the list, Kyle and Ro.
Weird.
Team Oddballs.
I mean, I guess it'd be interesting to see what they do, but I feel like
it's pretty.
I don't know. I feel like we already kind of know. I just feel like they would target Jed and Ty and just that would be it.
Yeah.
Maybe well, not. We'll
Kyle see. And Roe or the top two, the next two, Ty and Jed.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it 65-35?
I feel like we're heading towards an OTT situation and we've got a split audience.
Yeah. So
it'll be interesting.
That's what we've got going on. So, of course, if you want to take part in the Stock Watch, you can head to realitystockwatch.com. That's where you can buy and sell the shares of a player. That's where you can be on this leaderboard. The market is probably open now, considering the leaderboard updated. I'm not sure, but you'll be able to go there and make your new choices. I will be streaming on Thursday on Twitch to talk about advice, but of course, again, take it with a grain of salt. I said there were two safe buys. One of them was the worst pick of the second worst pick of the night, and the other one turned out to be okay. But I didn't agree with it being okay. So we'll see how that goes. But it's always a fun time to hang out and talk about the Stock Watch and talk about the players. Check out realitystockwatch.com. You can join at any time. It's okay. In fact, if you missed out on this week, that might be a good thing. A lot of people lost money. You might be starting in a better place than those people.
Yeah, you probably are.
All right. Anything else that we wanted to bring up? Any final thoughts, Melissa?
No, I'm just I'm really excited about the direction that the show is going in. And I really hope that, you know, we can keep this sort of divided house not in a sort of OTT toxic way, but more in just like a divided house where everyone is, it's one house, one side of the house one week, next side of the house next week, and it kind of trades off power. That's exciting to me. So I'm hopeful that it stays that way. You know, great feeds this week, and I hope it continues.
All right. Chantel, any final thoughts?
My final thought is I'm so shocked that I'm the Paula Abdul of this trio tonight. I can't believe that I was so the most generous with my numbers. I thought that I was being kind of harsh, you know, coming down with the actual hammer here. So that was pretty surprising. And I definitely, though, enjoyed really actually scrutinizing these players' games and kind of doing the rankings. So it was actually was a lot more, even more fun than I was expecting it to be. So thanks for having me. That was it was a good time. And I love talking about this season. It's been miles way more fun than Big Brother All-Stars was collectively. So it's been great. Yes.
Well, thank you for joining us, Chantel. It was a pleasure having you. I can tell you guys that next week, Aman will be joining us on the roundtable, giving us some of his ratings. So make sure you try and get into Aman's head. What is he going to do? What is Aman going to do? That's when we'll be updating the prices again and giving some more ratings. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds with a riveting report of what was maybe happening while the feeds were down for 6 hours. And then tomorrow night, we'll be recapping the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother Canada 9, as well as Thursday night, where we will be talking about the eviction episode of the show. I've also done a Circle podcast today, the Celebrity Circle UK. We wrapped up the finale of that, and we're going to get right into the regular season 3 with an all new cast. It just started today. It's very fun. The next podcast will be on Saturday, so make sure you check that out. You can also find me on Twitch, where I stream all sorts of things, including Fall Guys. And I'm very excited to play some more Fall Guys because my computer is working now. And I'm like, I'm ready to win all the crowns. So come and watch me win the crowns. Chantel, where can people find you?
For the most part, to my YouTube channel, Reality Realness with 3 S's. So tomorrow I'll be on live many times talking about Big Brother. I'll be talking about the Bachelor finale and then also the challenge after the episode. So I love reality TV and I love talking a lot about it. So you can find me there all the time.
All right, Melissa.
I'm on all social media. It's Melissa with 3 A's. And also, I think tomorrow it comes out my episode or my podcast episode with Stuff 90s Shows Taught Me, where we talk all things Mary-Kate and Ashley. So that'll be a fun one. I'll retweet it and you guys can find it there. It was a very, very good conversation. Very thorough.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you. You can, of course, find me on Twitter as well. If you want to fill out the survey yourself, I tweet that every morning after the Tuesday morning update. And that's how you can get your own thoughts into the podcast and have your voice heard, even if you want to give ratings that don't make sense. So thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. We'll see you next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.